ANA's 787 pilots are now in training. A lawyer for the Lytle family makes some amazing claims. And Wichita manufacturers call on the state of Kansas to step up. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 29th, 2011. The dream must be getting within reach. 10 pilots for ANA, All Nippon Airways, have begun training with Boeing in anticipation of the first deliveries of the 787 Dreamliner. The 10 began classroom instruction in Tokyo earlier this month. Training on simulation devices began April 23rd at the Boeing Flight Services Training Campus in Seattle. First delivery of the 787 is scheduled for the third quarter of this year, and ANA is the first customer. Sherry Carberry, VP of Boeing Flight Services, explains, quote, "In the case of the 787 Dreamliner, we worked side-by-side with ANA for more than 4 years conducting simulator evaluations, curriculum reviews, and cross-training so that each team learned from the other. It has truly been a collaboration between committed individuals dedicated to ensuring success," unquote. Pilots can transition to the 787 in 5 to 20 days. It depends on their experience. Boeing 777 pilots can qualify to fly the 787 in as little as 5 days, given the high level of commonality. The lawyer representing the family of the late New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle, who died with his instructor when his Cirrus SR-20 hit the side of a building on Manhattan's Upper East Side, told a jury in opening statements Wednesday that the NTSB got it wrong in ruling pilot error. Attorney Todd Macaluso said in his opening argument that the plane's controls were jammed due to a design defect in the aircraft, and that Cirrus should pay the family $50 million. Quote, "There is no pilot error. If you can't control the airplane, you can't be at fault. This airplane was out of control," unquote. Lytle and his instructor, Tyler Stanger, were flying in the Hudson River VFR corridor, and Cirrus contends Lytle started a turn too late, which gave him no opportunity to complete the maneuver. A story in the New York Post reports that Macaluso says the plane was spinning out of control when it hit the building, and that Lytle bent the airplane's side stick in an effort to bring the aircraft back under control. Cirrus attorneys tell Bloomberg the company is genuinely sorry that the two men lost their lives, but maintain, quote, "Cirrus did not cause these deaths, and the airplane did not cause these deaths," unquote. The Post also quotes Mancuso saying the jammed controls were due to a, quote, "design flaw after the jet was rushed into production," unquote. I'd imagine any number of Cirrus depositors will be amazed to learn that the jet is in production, and surprised to hear the jet program described as rushed. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback held an economic summit with a focus on aviation this week at the National Center for Aviation Training. About 160 leaders from both major aviation manufacturers and smaller companies attended and told him in clear terms the state needs to step up to help keep aviation jobs in Kansas. Businessweek reports that Spiro Aerosystems CEO Jeff Turner told the governor, "Rarely a week goes by that he's not approached by another state or country which will offer significant incentives to move," quote, "they want our jobs," unquote. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton suggested that Brownback cut the corporate income tax to zero for aviation companies which spend money in Kansas. That's probably not likely. But in a news release following the summit, Brownback did say Kansas needs to adopt a more favorable tax policy and end unnecessary or non-essential regulations to grow the aviation industry in the state. Aside from the big manufacturers everybody thinks of, Kansas is also home to more than 200 companies in their supply chains. There's good news and bad news to report regarding the use tax charged by the state of Maine to aircraft owners who don't live there. The law's premise is that it prevents owners who use their aircraft in Maine from hiding the asset in another state to evade taxes, but its implementation has sometimes looked more like a straight-up money grab. The law has recently been changed to allow out-of-state owners up to 20 days a year in Maine before the tax kicks in. But back in 2002 and 2003, you could be hit with a tax just for touching down there. Steve Kahn of Bedford, Massachusetts, had his plane with him on vacation in Maine and used it for angel flight work back and forth between rural Maine and hospitals in Boston. He got and paid a tax bill for $26,000, but then challenged it in court, Kahn told the Portland Press Herald he thought he'd never see the money again, but his attorney prevailed, and the Maine Supreme Court ruled by a 7-2 margin that the time the plane spent in Maine did not justify the tax and ordered a refund. Kahn is pleasantly surprised and calls it a moral victory. That's the good news. His attorney says the bad news is there was no particular time limit specified by the court for triggering the tax. A Florida businessman represented by the same attorney kept his plane in the state for 156 days and ended up being charged $117,000 in tax. That's not being refunded. So you can guess how long is too long, or be safe and simply not fly your plane to Maine. Perhaps one day the state will do the math on that, like Florida eventually did. Still ahead, a vintage warbird goes glass panel. Don't cut that power line, detect it. And a benefit will raise money for Kyle and Amanda. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 29th. I'm Paul Plack. The vintage wings of Canada Museum's Canadair Sabre 5, an F-86 Sabre also known as the Discovery Air Hawk 1, makes lots of air show appearances. Getting to those shows has been getting difficult as the elderly avionics have become less reliable. So, a change has been made that might raise a few purist eyebrows. The museum chose Kitchener Aero Avionics to oversee an extensive upgrade which has included a Garmin G500 glass panel. 6 weeks later, the plane is back online with that and improvements which include a GNS 430W and synthetic vision. In all, 28 older avionics devices plus their wiring and support structure were removed from the aircraft in the nose, main panel, and avionics bay. The new package is smaller, lighter, and more reliable, and has far more features and capability. You can see before and after photos of the panel in the text version of this story, dated April 28th, at aero-news.net. The FAA has issued a type certificate to SafeFlight for the Powerline Detection System. Anstrom has included the system in Model 480B helicopters being delivered to the government of Thailand under a 16-aircraft contract. SafeFlight and Anstrom are pursuing an STC that will allow retrofits in the existing U.S. fleet. The multi-role light turbine Anstrom 480B has been certified in 29 countries. SafeFlight's powerline detection system is described as an extremely lightweight and passive system that alerts the aircraft pilot and crew when approaching an energized powerline in a heads-up attitude. The system provides a visual and oral warning, which intensifies as the aircraft approaches the danger, and is seen as an alternative to the installation of wire cutters on the airframe. PDS has now been certified by both the FAA and EASA. Cessna is celebrating an anniversary today, the 20th anniversary of the first flight of the Citation jet. On April 29th, 1991, pilots Bob Leonard and Bob Carnahan took off from Wichita's Mid-Continent Airport, reached an altitude of 10,000 feet, and checked handling and trim characteristics, engine response, and more. Cessna says the Citation jet was the first business jet to use a true natural laminar flow wing. That plane replaced the original Citation 500, and its successor, the Citation 1, had its name shortened from Citation jet to CJ, and the rest is history. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton observes, quote, "The price and performance of Williams International's all-new FJ44 series advanced turbofan engines allowed Cessna engineers to create an entirely new generation of light business jets. The Citation jet was a success from the moment it was announced at NBAA in 1989 and was instrumental in Cessna today, boasting 6,100 Citations, the largest fleet of business jets in the world." Unquote. A fundraiser is being organized to help raise money for Amanda and Kyle Franklin, who were seriously injured while performing in an air show in Texas earlier this year. The event will be held Saturday, May 14th at Hugh Robinson Airport in Neosho, Missouri, where the couple lives. It will begin with a pancake breakfast at 8 a.m. and additional activities getting underway at 10. A flyer sent to ANN for the event says there will be biplane rides all day, static displays, and a silent auction with 100% of the proceeds going to Amanda and Kyle's recovery fund. There will be activities for kids, food vendors, and live entertainment. A fund for donations has been established at the Community Bank and Trust in Neosho. And finally today, Carol Ann Garrett, who has circumnavigated the planet twice already in an attempt to raise awareness for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, better known as ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, has launched a third attempt. It began with a lecture on her previous flights Monday at Boston University. Quote, "Those of us who have seen a relative or friend die of ALS typically feel the need to do something to help find a treatment for this destructive disease. If I can combine my love of aviation and raise donations and awareness for ALS at the same time, so much the better." Unquote. Garrett's two previous trips in 2003 and 2008 were made in Moonies, and the second trip with co-pilot Carol Foy set a record for circumnavigating the globe in a single-engine airplane at 8.5 days. She's also written two books about her travels and raised over $328,000 in support of ALS research. Her third flight will also be in a Mooney, but won't set any speed records. She plans a 12-month trip. You can track her progress online at www.alsworldflight.com. Carol Ann hopes to raise a total of $1 million. She's about a third of the way there. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jeff Saucedo of ICG tells us about new technology in satellite voice and data links for aircraft. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.